was putting my son to sleep last night, who's 1.5. And it's funny, it's always a little bittersweet. So you don't mind, this entire episode will be a brain dump on fatherhood. So heads up, if you don't have kids, don't listen. You don't care. And if you do have kids, keep in mind the lens I'm coming through here is 2 children under 4. My daughter is 3.5 and my son is 1.5. So I don't have older kids. I haven't experienced the trauma of teenagers. I'm still relatively a new parent. And yet at the same time, it's ridiculous how many things I've learned in the last 4 years. So yeah, I'm putting my son to sleep. My wife and I take turns every other night. And he's laying his head on my shoulder. The room is dark. There's some kind of nostalgic song playing like Rainbow Connection on the radio. And again, it always feels strangely bittersweet. And I didn't expect that. I always thought, okay, you're going to be overwhelmed with love. But yeah, again, the bittersweet element to it, I didn't expect. And I think this is why. And also why, before I had kids, it never occurred to me that this would be a thing. So it's very possible, I thought about this last night, it's very possible that this current period of my life is the period I will look back on decades from now when I'm on my deathbed. I will think back to my early 30s, my wife, and 2 little kids running around like crazy. You know how we hear about at the end of somebody's life, they have little flashbacks or almost like little pictures that flash through their head. I think I'm going to be thinking about right now, which is a very strange feeling. And I know I'm being sentimental here, but I think that's why for every fun thing I do with my family, it's kind of laced with this realization that it's going to end. And I never thought about that before. My little 3-year-old daughter, who is the cutest thing I've ever seen, is going to become a teenager. And not like that's a bad thing, but the 3-year-old version of her that I love so much is not going to exist in 10 years. It'll be the teenage version that I love so much, but I'm still going to miss that 3-year-old. So sometimes it's difficult to watch them run around so sweetly. Meanwhile, I'm unbelievably exhausted, but I still can appreciate how fun it is to see them running around while also knowing this is going to end. This is a tiny phase of their life that they will grow out of. So putting my son to sleep with Rainbow Connection playing and he has his head on my shoulder, he's not going to do that much longer. Maybe 2 or 3 years, I hope. And man, after you have kids, 3 years is nothing. It's like time speeds up drastically after you have children. Think back to when you were in middle school or elementary school. Did it not feel like a year was forever and a summer was eternity? And then you become an adult and a summer is like 30 seconds and you move on to fall. There's definitely this feeling that time speeds up as you get older. And I think that explains the subtle overlay of sadness for any fun thing that I do with my kids. But by the way, I'm not being a downer here. It's something I think about. Nobody would even notice, but it is something that constantly is circling my head when I'm with them. So for example, over Christmas, I put together my daughter's first bicycle. And as I was doing it, it didn't even occur to me until the end that, oh, this is kind of a iconic dad moment. It's like a rite of passage for fathers, putting your kid's bike together for the first time and taking them on a walk around the neighborhood. You don't even realize like, oh, these are bucket list items you didn't even know you had, but they are. But also another element to this that's hard for me, and I think it's pretty common, I'm sure it's temporary and will go away once they get older, but it's how tired and exhausted I often feel to the point that it seems like I'm sometimes letting them down because I'm not being as present as I should because I'm trying to play with the farm animals or the rocket ship and the little action figures. But behind the scenes, I'd almost prefer to just collapse on the couch because usually your day starts pretty early with young kids. So my routine with my wife is every other day I get up with them, which will be around 6:30 to 7 o'clock. We play until about 9 o'clock. I then switch to work mode. And usually I work until about 4-ish at this point. And then after that, I immediately again switch to dad mode and we're playing until dinner. And then after dinner, you either play a little more or it's bath time or pajama time and then you have to read books. And even though I love all of it, it's this constant thing that will wear any person down. And I hate that. I hate the feeling that I can't be as present as I should because my body isn't going along for the ride. All right, what else would be interesting to bring up? Okay, here's something in the news. So, you know, there's lots of discussions, at least in the West, about pushing gender-specific toys and ideas and movies on your children. So that would be showing your son He-Man and giving him swords and hammers and giving princess dresses and tiaras to your daughter. So here's my thinking on that. It is something that occurs to you a little bit. Maybe it feels weird that she gets princess dresses and he gets trucks and you're kind of pushing these stereotypes on them. Maybe we should try to even things out. And I think that's good. However, I'm not sure you have much control over it when all is said and done. They seem to gravitate automatically towards certain things. So for example, if I told you that my daughter runs around in Cinderella dresses and my son loves playing with dinosaurs, it feels pretty stereotypical, doesn't it? And I would agree. And yet, that's how it happened. It's not like we forced these things on them. They naturally seek them out. And so as a result, you're then in the position of, okay, my daughter is really into Rapunzel right now. Am I not going to encourage that if she wants the dress or the fun hair or what's the sidekick, Pascal? Are we not going to give that to her because we're trying to prove some point about gender norms? That seems a little weird. And the same would be true for my son. And so I think before you have children, you may have ideas on how things are going to go and what you're going to give them and what they will be interested in. But after you have children, it's more like shoving a stack of things in their face and then they pick out the things they're interested in. And more often than not, and by the way, that doesn't mean all the time. All kids are different, but typically you may find the boys gravitate towards the trucks and the dinosaurs and the girls to more feminine things. And from that point, you have to decide as a parent, are you going to insert yourself and try to keep that from happening or try to course correct? Because you're going to fail. They just gravitate towards what interests them. So I think the best you can do is, like I said, push a lot of things in their face. I'm always like with my arm trying to gather other things. Here, check, take a look at this. Here's a rocket ship. Here's cars. Here's princesses. Here's little scary monsters. Here's Star Wars. Here's farm animals. And they will take it from there. And you just don't have much control. All right, that's all I have to say about that. Please don't beat me up. I'm actually pretty open to these discussions. But last topic is how fatherhood has affected me personally, and I think how it might affect many fathers. In the last 4 years, which is the span of time since my wife became pregnant with our first child, in the last 4 years, in every possible way, my life has become more disciplined for the better. Sometimes I think back to before I had kids, we would have a messy house or the laundry wasn't getting done because we were lazy. I look back and I kind of laugh right now because in order to make my current life work requires so much process. Here's an example for those of you listening for some reason who don't have children. Imagine somebody comes into your home, they walk around it 100 times, and for every path, they pick up things and just drop it on the floor. Like an asshole. And that's exactly how little children are. They pick something up. What's this? Don't care. Done with that. And they don't put it back on the table. They just drop it on the ground. So if you're not careful and you don't stay on top of it, after 2 or 3 days, your house is a complete wreck. So my wife and I do this thing at the end of every night. We call it the reset, where you reset all the chaos they did throughout the day and you start again from scratch. And sometimes it feels like, what's the point? Why are we putting all these toys in the living room back in the cabinet when in 8 hours, they're coming right back out? But either way, I still think you need to do it for a couple of reasons. One, after your children go to bed, you need some time for adult life. And it's hard to do that if you're stumbling on little Lego pieces and little Mickey cars. So the reset is in part to have some element of adult time that isn't constantly under attack by the destruction that was performed around the house. But yeah, on top of the reset, it's almost like you're constantly sprucing up. So before you have kids, you might, depending on your personality, you might let things get a little dirty and then you clean, right? You just can't do that without complete chaos when you have little kids. So nonstop, if I enter a room or I leave a room, it's like, okay, I'm going to grab this. If we're going up the stairs, you better grab some things that are meant to go upstairs. If you're going downstairs, find the glasses that need to come down. It's like a constant process of keeping your head above water as you walk through a house. So now I think back to before I had kids, and the fact that my home wasn't always perfectly clean almost baffles me, because it would be so easy without two little humans walking around knocking every single thing in their path. But anyways, other areas I have felt more disciplined in the last 4 years. Oh, and by the way, I hope this doesn't come across as narcissistic or anything like that, talking about my kids and how I've become more disciplined. It might come across that way. That's not my intention. One, I'm doing this maybe for myself in 20 years to come back and listen to and probably cringe at how ignorant I sound. But also, I think it would be useful for others to hear, because I would have liked to hear something along these lines 4 or 5 years ago. Often you go through these important milestones in private. So you have family and friends who can help you with the basics. But then those other lower level things, like feeling as if you're letting your children down, or the bittersweet element, or things like that, usually don't get spoken about quite as much. But anyways, one other area that I attribute fatherhood to better discipline, it's hard to explain, but it's almost like you want to be the best version of yourself for your kids. So I don't think it's a coincidence that I started taking my health seriously after having children. And it wasn't even something as simple as, you know, I want to be present for my kids as many years as possible, because I was never, I never had a massive weight problem, but it was always like 25, 30 pounds too much, and 30 pounds that had grown over the last 12 years, right? So often it's like, you ate 2 pounds too many this year, and the next year, 2 pounds too many the next year. And then suddenly, oh, I have 30 extra pounds I'm carrying around that I wasn't carrying around when I was 22. And if I don't take care of this now, what is it going to look like when I'm 40 or 50 and even less able to wind back the clock, so to speak? So it's interesting. After I had kids, it started circling my head more that I wanted my daughter to look at her dad in the best possible way. As someone who, and who knows if they even process this. I think we often overthink things when it comes to our kids, but I hope on some level it enters her head, as someone who doesn't just take care of them, but also takes care of yourself. And that's why I do my workouts at home. I don't go to a gym, and she sees it every single day. And often I'll be doing planks on the ground, and she will come and do a little 30-second plank next to me. I have to believe that's going to have significant influence on her future in the way she thinks about exercise, because her entire life she grew up seeing people do it almost every single day. So I found that I've made changes in my life almost less for me and more for them, because I think it's something they need to see. And by the way, this is also true for things like staring at your phone in front of your kids. And trust me, I'm not on a high horse here. This is something I suffer from as well, and I'm constantly trying to fight it, where you don't even realize it, but you're sitting there playing with your kids, and then you kind of reach for your phone because it's, look, if we're being frank, it's sometimes hard to play with your kids for an hour and a half when you're just, you know, making little characters walk around and talk to pigs. You know, it wears on you a little bit, and you often will find yourself reaching for that phone. And whenever I do that, and I'm trying to kick it, but whenever I do, I try to imagine looking at myself, looking at my phone while my daughter and son are playing, right? Like, that's not a good image. So it's something I very much try to avoid. I fail frequently, but I try to keep it outside of the room when I can, because sometimes the temptation, you don't even realize it's a temptation, and suddenly you're grabbing it for every stupid thought that enters your head. And that's the problem with the phone. It's not just addiction. It's the fact that every question that pops in your head can be solved by lifting up your phone. So I wonder if this is open, or I wonder what the recipe is for that, or if it starts with "I wonder," you can solve it with your phone. And so often you almost give yourself a get out of jail free card where you think, oh, I shouldn't be on my phone. Well, I'm doing it because I'm looking up the recipe for dinner, right? You can always get into that, but it doesn't change the fact that I am staring at my phone while my kids are playing right next to me, and it's a really bad look. Okay, I think we went way too long, but that's a general brain dump on fatherhood at this stage in my life. I hope if you're at a similar point in your life as I am, that this was useful, if only to hear someone say things that you often think about yourself. Anyways, that's it from me. My name is Jeffrey Way. You're listening to the Laracast Snippet, and I'll see you next time.